Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we have an exciting program, a brand new organization. In Astoria, serving the greater Astoria North Coast area, the Writers Guild. It's a literary nonprofit, was just formed, and we'll find out exactly. I know it's very recent, from my guest. My guest is Marianne Monson. Marianne is an author. She is a Clatsop Community College instructor, and she is the founder of the Writers Guild. Hi, Marianne.
Hi.
When did you form the Writers Guild, by the way?
About 2 months ago.
Okay, so yep. It is brand spanking new.
Yes.
Okay. So before we find out what the mission of the Writers Guild is and why you came into this community and brought your light and your energy and your good works to create this, let's let the listening audience learn a little bit about yourself, please.
Absolutely. Thanks, Donna. So I was born in Chicago and raised there, and then I ended up in the Pacific Northwest for college at Lewis and Clark. And I've always wanted to be a writer, just always had my head in a book, always had a pen in my hands from a very young age. So I worked in publishing in the Portland area for a bit, and then went into teaching after that. As well as writing, always writing.
And so you lived in Portland
yeah.
for some period of time, mm-hmm. where your children are.
Yes.
And where you raised your children mostly.
Yes.
And then
mm-hmm.
Astoria twinkled. Something happened. How did you come to Astoria?
It twinkles. My book, Frontier Grit, came out in 2016, and it did well and sort of brought me to a crossroads where I had a little bit more flexibility. And I found a 100-year-old house in Astoria that needed a lot of TLC. It was built by Finnish immigrants. And so last summer in August, my kids and I just made that jump.
Wow, that's impressive. So you have what the Finns call sisu. Now, I've heard it's pronounced sisu or sisu, but I think it's sisu. Anyway, mm-hmm. which is that intestinal fortitude, guts.
Huh.
You know, no gibbity-uppity, right? The Finns have that. So you just bought this 100-year-old house, mm-hmm. you and your kids, and then you said, you know, I want to be in Astoria. And then you had the position open up at Clatsop Community College.
Yes, that's right. Soon after I moved here, I met Nancy Cook and Julie Brown and got connected with Clatsop.
Mm-hmm. And so what are you teaching at Clatsop Community College right now?
I teach writing. So I teach composition, literature, and creative writing. This summer, I'm teaching a creative nonfiction class online.
So people can attend one of your classes. They can
Absolutely.
Register at Clatsop Community College.
Yes.
And they can take the online class.
Yes.
How
I'd love to have them.
How do you feel about online classes?
You know, they're a different kind of learning. I'm teaching online right now, actually. They work really well for some students, and other students just need that face-to-face interaction.
Yeah,
so
I'm mm-hmm. sure. Absolutely.
Just depends.
All right. So you bought the house. You moved to Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, you're writing books.
Yes.
We're going to hear some from your book that was published in 2016, Frontier Grit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a new book that you're working on. So you're writing these books. And then somehow you have an idea that, oh, I think Astoria could use a writer's guild.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. So I moved here and was right away just kind of drawn into the artistic community. I was so excited about the work that AVA was doing. And I kept looking for the writing equivalent, essentially, and couldn't find it. So thanks to several other supportive people who also got excited about my idea, I just decided we needed to do this. So we did. Or so we are. We are doing this.
Yeah, it's happening. I went to a meeting myself a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So what was your vision? What is the Writers Guild?
So the Writers Guild, I think of it as really having two pieces. The first is as a professional organization for writers. I think the work that we do as writers tends to be very solitary. A lot of us tend to be introverted, and yet we still really need a sense of community, a sense of connection, a place to share our work, a place to advance professionally and grow our skills. So first of all, that's what I'm hoping the Writers Guild can help provide for writers, for people who identify as writers. But the second piece, I think, is to help everyone in the broader community use writing and literacy as an incredible tool of growth. So specifically in outreach programs, building creative writing programs in the schools, so educationally, and then with at-risk populations as well.
A lot of people don't think of themselves as writers. Mm-hmm. However, everyone has a story.
Yes.
And a different way to tell it. I mean, whether it's a rap story or,
yes,
you know, some romantic piece that mm-hmm. someone has or an experience that mm-hmm. they've had. So it's just, I think it's getting over this idea that, oh, I have to write properly or I have to be, a writer is a whole different, I'm not that. However, everyone can mm-hmm. write something meaningful. Mm-hmm. And it's such a healing thing to write.
Absolutely. I think part of our just birthright as humans is storytellers. And we all have different methods and modes in which we're most comfortable storytelling. I loved that Lucy Barna came to our first meeting and she read the lyrics to some of her songs that she'd written. You know, that is storytelling still. So regardless of what it looks like or how we do it, we are all storytellers. And telling our stories, reclaiming our stories is incredibly powerful. Finding our voices and tuning into that can be amazingly healing and empowering for people.
So the motto of the Writers Guild is?
The motto is building the greater Astoria area through the power of words.
And the vision statement?
The Writers Guild vision is to build a community of writers in Astoria and strengthen the larger community through the power of the written word.
Absolutely. And so in order to create mm-hmm. A community, you're offering monthly gatherings. So let's talk about
that. Yeah, absolutely. So the third Tuesday of every month at Winecraft from 6 to 8 p.m., Winecraft has been generous enough to host us, and they're right on the water. So I think it's a creatively inspiring space. And we get together for a writing prompt, for socializing, and drinks, of course. And then we talk about guild projects. And then the second hour from 7 to 8 is an open mic where anyone's welcome to share any genre of writing that they wish.
It's very welcoming. I mean,
yes.
I went to the first meeting and I was impressed. It was a nice turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And because people do, when you write something, sometimes you want an audience. You want to be able to get feedback from
mm-hmm.
people or just to speak your piece,
yes.
your truth.
Yes.
And then the writing prompt.
Uh-huh.
Why is that so I find that very powerful. When I mm-hmm. go to writing workshops, often at home I have an idea, but I'm not going to act on it. But if someone says, okay, here either an idea you have or write about forks or write about light
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and you have 10 minutes and suddenly you begin, something comes out. You don't know what it might be, but it suddenly happens.
Yeah. I mean, I think it throws you over the hurdle of the blank page, which I think as artists and writers is one of the most difficult elements to overcome. So like that blank page staring at you, what are you going to put here? But when someone says, write this now, you get all engaged with that particular task you've been given. And guess what? That page isn't blank anymore.
Yeah. And you're not judging yourself, because I think
mm-hmm.
we're such harsh critics of ourselves.
Yes.
You're not judging. So you're bypassing it. You're just saying, because then you can always say, you know, I only had this much time. I did the best I could.
That's right.
And so you're more forgiving.
Mm-hmm. The stakes are very low. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which is excellent. So that's a part of each of the monthly gatherings.
It is. Yeah.
So people have a chance to actually do something. And I liked that a lot of people, I personally like to write with them. I mean, I do write, of course, on my computer, but I think at workshops, I love to do pen and paper.
Yeah.
There's something about the hand moving across a
mm-hmm,
page.
Mm-hmm. It's very physical. I love the physicality of writing. In that way, I think it's related to any sort of art. You know, you're creating something, you're building something, you're engaging with the physical materials.
Yeah, absolutely.
In front of you. Yeah.
All right. So you're going to, you have the monthly gathering.
Yes.
And you also have a website, which if you want to go to the website, you can actually become a member of the Writers Guild right now by going to the Writers Guild, no apostrophe, thewritersguild.org. So you have this great website.
Thanks.
You're in the process of looking at getting nonprofit status.
Yes.
501c3.
Uh-huh.
And right now you have the monthly gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also doing some workshops.
Yeah, we are doing some workshops. The first one was last month on publishing and marketing for writers. I'm just amazed so far at the caliber of the writers that are in this community and turning out for events. It's really exciting to me. But coming up in May, we have one about voice. So, and that's essentially looking at how to foster the element of voice in your own work, as well as finding your voice as a writer. So it's very good for beginning writers as well as more established writers.
So that is May 19th, which is a
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And it's from 9 to 1.
Yes.
And it's at Fort George.
Yep.
So you're working with Fort George.
Yeah.
And if you actually join the Writers Guild, mm-hmm. which I really encourage people to do, because whether you're a writer or you think you're a writer or not, supporting literacy and the written word is such a powerful and good thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you're a member, then you get a discount on all the workshops.
That's right. You do. Yep.
So how do people register? And what you're saying is bring pen, paper, and your project ideas. So people can register on the Writers Guild website?
Yes, they can. There's a workshop tab, and it lists our workshops for the whole rest of the year, actually. We have a monthly through November. So, yeah.
So, and because you're still helping people then counsel people about publishing and writing and all
I do
that.
Freelance editing and consulting. Yeah. Right. On the side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Busy young woman, that's for sure.
I try and stay out of trouble.
And then you have another workshop coming up. Are you planning to try to do a workshop every month then?
Yes, we're doing one every month. Okay. I'm teaching the first two in May and June. And then after that, it's other people in our community. So,
okay.
As well as there's a couple very established writers coming from Portland to teach for us too, which is really exciting.
So what's happening for teen writers?
So June 9th, we're holding a workshop that is just for teen writers. So 12 to 17-year-olds can come, and we're going to do a series of writing prompts. We're going to do some improv activities that are great for writers, talk about teen publishing opportunities. So it'll be really fun. If you know any teenagers who like to write, it'll be perfect for them.
Well, I'm hoping that this poster that I'm looking at in my hands here is actually out at the schools and that you know, a lot of people know. And what I love, too, is you have a partnership with not only the Classic Community College Library, but the Astoria Library.
Yes.
Because they have had a writing group there for some time.
Yes, they have.
And so, and Kate Deeks is part of the Writers Guild.
She is. Yeah, I was really excited that she was so excited about it. She was one of a very enthusiastic supporter of the Guild project. So, and she brings a lot of great experience because she's on the library board. She's been a part of this community for a long time. So she's been a really integral part of the Guild.
And I can't encourage people strongly enough to let your families and friends know about this Teen Writers Workshop on June 9th, 9 to 1 at Fort George, because school will be out by then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So perfect way to kick off the summer. And again, you can go to the website, which is thewritersguild.org. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today I'm talking with Mary Ann Monson. Mary Ann is an author. She's written, is it 10 books, Mary Ann?
10 books.
And she is an instructor at Classic Community College, a writing instructor, as well as the founder of the Writers Guild here based in Astoria with monthly meetings and workshops. So you're also thinking about doing a writer-in-residency program through the Guild?
Yes, we're working on that. We want to partner with local schools to develop creative writing programs and to strengthen creative writing programs. Educationally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so ambitious, and wonderful ideas and goals here for this Writers Guild, and you've hit the ground running. It's happening. I mean, you've been embraced, so that's a good thing. And also, I think you feel like it's important to work to maybe help facilitate writing workshops for at-risk populations. Why do you think that's important?
There's been a lot of research lately about the power of literary therapy. And although we are primarily writers and certainly not therapists, my hope is that we can work with these at-risk populations to use writing as a tool of healing and hope. So, yeah, helping people reframe their own experience to claim their own experience, to claim their story, can be incredibly transformative.
Words we use are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, words reflect our thoughts. And you're right. We can reframe things. We can mm-hmm. tell different stories. And I worked with a writing instructor many, many years ago in Boise, Idaho, with the they have a wonderful log cabin there that where they do a lot of writing workshops. Mm-hmm. But Norm Weinstein, he was wonderful, and he was working with senior citizens, uh-huh. and especially some people who had disabilities and health issues, chronic yeah. pain issues, and things like that. And he had a writing exercise that he had them do, which he said was really powerful and healing. He asked them to write a question to their bodies, like, okay, left ankle or back, or, you know, why am I experiencing this pain, or what is the message you have for me? So he would have them write it in their dominant hand, the hand uh-huh. they normally write with. Then once the question was on paper, immediately he asked them to switch to the non-dominant hand mm-hmm. and let the body create a response. Wow. And he said that several people had, I guess what you might call an epiphany about something yeah. and were able to actually heal themselves. So there's so many things we don't understand again Absolutely. About how the body, the mind, and uh-huh. all of that works.
Yes, exactly. And as you just explained in that example, it's just can be a powerful way to access our subconscious, you know?
Yes, so, mm-hmm. yes, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about what if you become a member of the Writers Guild, which is an incredibly nominal fee,
yeah.
What are some of the membership benefits?
So it's $65 for the year, and you have access to our monthly meetings at Winecraft, first dibs on popular workshops, so you get to register first, a discount on all the Guild workshops. You get a potential discount on writing consulting, and access to a members-only part of our page on the website. And then the opportunity to be involved as a volunteer or with writing residencies, too. So basically, it just brings you on board to help support our
yes.
work in the community.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. And that's really important. So I almost think that it would be kind of fun to hear a little bit about your writing and about you tend to write historical mm-hmm. books. Talk a little bit about your work.
Absolutely. Thanks. I've always been drawn to history, and I started off writing historical fiction novels. So especially around the pioneer era, I find extremely fascinating. I also write books for children. So that was where I started. But then a few years ago, my editor suggested that we work on an adult nonfiction book about women's history. And so that was really how Frontier Grit came about, which profiles 12 amazing pioneer women who you probably haven't heard of. I try and dig up stories that are not well known to the public.
So you're mm-hmm. You have a book that's coming out soon. We'll talk about that in a minute. But
yeah.
the book that was published in 2016 that has won awards, Frontier Grit. It's
yes.
available at Lucy's and Godfather's right
yes.
here locally.
Yes, it is.
And that book is about kind of unknown, unheard of pioneer women.
Yeah, who did really remarkable things. One who is from Oregon is Abigail Scott Duniway. And she probably has a little more name recognition here in the Pacific Northwest than she may in other areas of the country. But she essentially fought for women to have the right to vote in Oregon for 40 years. So she dedicated her life to that little goal.
So you had to do quite a bit of research on these women.
Yes. Yeah, I really like research. I feel like it's like a treasure hunt. So.
And what surprised you when you were writing this book?
What surprised me? What surprised me was how remarkable these women were, even though I had heard of very few of them when I started doing it. It surprised me that they were able to face down such a wide variety of challenges in their lives, right? From the physicality of being a pioneer and settling a new area to the gender discrimination that they faced as women. Yet they just, they took it in stride. They stuck it out. They just kept going.
Well, you mentioned a story. Why don't you tell the story about the one woman and why she was arrested, actually?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's from my Civil War book.
Civil War book. Okay,
yeah,
good.
That's
okay.
the one that's coming out this fall. But that was about Mary Walker, who was one of the first female surgeons in the U.S., and she was a surgeon during the Civil War, and she was arrested 5 times for, they accused her of, quote-unquote, dressing as a man, because she believed in wearing reform dress, which essentially was like kind of a knee-length skirt and then trousers underneath. And she felt that corsets compressed the internal organs of women and were very unhealthy for them. And that as a surgeon and as a doctor herself, she couldn't do her work with Victorian era clothing standards. So anyway, she was arrested for quote unquote dressing as a man. So just an example as not only did she have to do the incredibly difficult work of actually being a surgeon in the Civil War, she also had to face, you know, this gender prejudice as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, well, let's talk. Okay, so Frontier Grit is out and available now.
Yes,
and
it is.
You've done some readings.
Yes, I have. Yeah, especially for Women's History Month at Fort George. We did an Ales and Ideas, and at the library, we did a reading there, and Lucy's and Riversea. So, yeah, it was great.
And tell me about the Civil War book. When is that coming out, and why did you decide to write a book about the Civil War? And clearly it's from a woman's perspective. You're talking about women.
Yeah, the name of it is The Women of the Blue and Gray, Mothers, Medics, Soldiers, Spies of the American Civil War. And so it just looks at the role that women played in the Civil War. As to why I wrote it, I've always been fascinated with this era of history. It's just such an incredible time in the history of our nation. And I feel is so applicable to current political situation today. So it has a lot of relevancy. But I didn't know before I started doing the research that hundreds of women, they estimate up to 700 women actually masqueraded as men and fought in the Civil War using an assumed male identity. So, and they were motivated by a number of different reasons for doing that. But a major appeal was the regular salary and income during such a difficult time for survival. So a lot of women were motivated by that. So.
And what is the status of that book?
It's coming out in September.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
That'll
you.
Be exciting.
And, thanks.
And then we'll be able to claim you as an historian, you know,
yes.
Because now you're an historian.
That's right.
With your brand new book being out. And are your children's books also kind of in the same vein of historical?
Sort of. I have a book called Finding Fairies. That was actually the first book I ever published. It's about fairy lore from all over the world. So I love to say that it's shelved in the nonfiction section and it's about fairies. But because it is, yeah. So all of my books have had some historical research-based element for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so once the Civil War book comes out and you're going to be continuing to work writing and teaching classes at the college and
yeah.
working on the Writers Guild,
uh-huh.
What has surprised you about moving to Astoria and now being a full-time resident here? I mean, how do you find Astoria? How's it working for you?
Well, I think from a very young age, I just wished that I could move back in time. And Astoria is a little bit like moving back in time in that it's got such an amazing sense of community. I mean, you know, it's small-town America, and yet what surprised me is the sense of connectedness, community, how many things are going on. I can't believe how much is going on in this town. And then just the people here and how committed they are to their community and how they all have 20 different jobs that they're doing. And so there are a lot of really impressive mover and shakers here.
It's true. I mean, it's so funny that, you know, when you hear Astoria being referred to as, you know, that's a rural, you know,
yes.
we're a rural economy.
Yes.
And then you think of the vibrancy of
yes.
this community, which is like a really small kind of European city almost.
It
in a way.
Really is.
You
it
know?
Feels
I mean,
so European.
And with things like
me.
The Liberty Theater and
yeah.
all of the different venues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty mm-hmm. spectacular.
Yeah.
So, Marianne, what other things would you like the listening audience to know? We have just a few minutes left on the program. So, what would you like what other things would you like the listening audience to know about the Writers Guild or about your classes that you're teaching?
Well, I mean, I think that if people respond to the vision and to the goals that we have as an organization, I would love to see them get involved. We have so many opportunities for people who are interested in volunteering, for people who are interested in Learning how to work with at-risk populations in a productive way on writing through writing workshops. Anyway, if people are excited about the projects and excited about the work we're doing, I'd love to have them join as members or attend our monthly meeting. Just come and get involved.
You know, at the first meeting, like you mentioned, Lucy Barna was there and she read the lyrics for a song that she had just written, which were just beautiful. And then it was a very impressive thing to hear, you know, Bruce Jones, who is highly respected here. Is, you know, at the Columbia River Maritime Museum right now. He wrote a terrific piece. And
Absolutely.
It's just, you get to know people in a different way when you hear them write about something that's meaningful and important to them. How do you, when you work with your students, how do you get people to get over this idea of like, oh, I'm not very good, or I'm not, you know, I'm not really a writer, or, you know, what does that mean? How do you, how do you work with people like that?
I mean, that's something that we all have to work through. I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges that we all face as writers, but a huge piece of it is fostering a community and a space where people feel safe and they feel like they can be vulnerable, that they can let themselves be seen. You know, and I think that's what I was so amazed by at that first meeting is how willing people were to just jump in and be vulnerable and say, here's my creative work. So
that's true. Yeah. It is. There is a vulnerability there. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, I mean, again, there, you know, judging, you know, like what is good art? What is bad art? What is good writing? What is bad writing? I mean, we have, I mean, but even if, like we were talking about how writing is such a healing thing.
Yes.
That even if you... Even if it's maybe it's bad writing, it still may serve a very powerful function.
Yes.
And there's also always some gem, some jewel, something in there.
Yes, absolutely. It's so true. And I think kind of separating that, that we can allow writing to do different things within our community and that to kind of be in different places, if that makes sense. So.
Oh, it does make sense. And I think that there have been a lot of different groups here. I mean, the Southwester, of course, offers some writing workshops. And and again, the Astoria Libraries had. But I think you trying to bring together in a holistic way, you know, under this umbrella of the Writers Guild is something that really is, its time has come.
Yeah.
It's right for this town here now.
Yeah.
For this whole North Coast area.
Yeah, I hope so. It feels like it is just because of the level of excitement people have brought to us. So.
We have a couple minutes. Do you want to just like say one quick thing from Frontier Grit? Do you want to?
Sure.
Give us a quick...
Yeah, I'll read the end of the introduction, actually. Pioneering of every variety in every generation requires a stubbornness of thought, a willingness to disregard public opinion, and a grit to endure. These stories are fit inspiration for modern-day efforts to venture into new and unknown paths, climb ragged, rocky mountains, and harness a vision of how we might rebuild this tumultuous world into something better, truer, and stronger for generations yet to come. May you find impetus here to forge your own frontiers.
Well, now that describes you.
Oh,
because look, you are a pioneering. You are. You just created the Writers Guild. You've only been in Astoria since what?
August. Yeah.
Okay, not even a year. And you're fixing up an old finished house. You have created the Writers Guild, and I think you found, as I found when I moved here almost 15 years ago, that if you come into this community and you volunteer and you offer your whatever talents, your skills or gifts you have, and you really want to give, the community welcomes you.
Absolutely.
And embraces you. And so there's a place for everyone here.
I've never felt at home faster than I did moving here.
Really,
it's
special.
Just amazing.
Place.
We're
so
very lucky.
Again, the Writers Guild website. Thank you so much, Marianne,
Thank
for making
you,
time
Donna.
To be here
it's
today.
It's been wonderful.
It's exciting. So upcoming... the next Writers Guild meeting is May 15th, which is a Tuesday night, I believe.
It
right?
is.
Tuesday
yes.
night at Winecraft.
Winecraft, 6 right, to 8. Yeah.
6 to 8 p.m. right on the river. And so if you want to come and learn more about it, you can come to that meeting. You can also go to their website, thewritersguild.org. To become a member to find out about workshops that are coming up. And don't forget that Teen Writers Workshop, June 9th. So thank you again, Marianne,
thank
for this.
You.
I'm so excited. I joined, and I'm a happy member of the Writers Guild in Astoria right now. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
And my appreciation to Joan Rideout for being our marvelous engineer this morning. And much gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week. Find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so good for body, mind, and spirit. And then with gratitude, focus on the things that are working well in your life. There will always be those things that don't work well, but focus on the things that are going well and on feeling good, and then giving yourself a loving and compassionate hug or pat on the back for being uniquely you and for doing the best you can. Everyone really is. For being here now in the now moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.